On the sheet it says Kof Hei Cheshvan, I believe it's Kof Vav today. Thursday, the 24th of November, Rabbi Chaim Rubin, Shalom Bayis.
Thank you very much for allowing me to enter again. I think it's a different edifice this time than last time, but Baruch Hashem, just the same. The reason why this topic has been chosen is unfortunately a topic that we run into practically all over the world. It's a terrible thing that's happening. A young couple usually gets married, they decide to get married, and they hope that they'll have a beautiful and great future in front of them, that they're going to enjoy and build the Bais Ne'eman b'Yisrael. And at the same time, all of a sudden, there are certain obstacles that come in, and unfortunately, they don't know how to react towards them, and we see a lot of problems. So really, on my travels around the world, unfortunately, I come up against this problem all the time. So I would like just to bring out a few pointers, the amount of time that was allotted me this morning, and maybe we'll can get a few hints, and looking at the faces of the audience here, that doesn't seem that you were just married there just yesterday, but it's possible that it could be given over. I want to tell you, my one of my grandsons just came back from New York to Jerusalem, and on the plane, he said a very strange thing took place. A young man walks over to him, and he said, you don't know me, but I got married 2 days ago. And I spoke with the rabbis in New York, and they said I could make seven brachas on the plane. So I spoke to the stewardess if such a thing would be possible. And she said, well, if you do it in the back and it doesn't take too long, we'll let you do it. So now he went around the plane to gather up 10 men and to sit down in the back of the plane and make this, excuse me, the Sheva brachas. So they sat down, and they probably served him some cake and drinks. They sang for them, they said the Sheva brachas, and the young couple was really ecstatic. It was a beautiful experience. So when the stewardess came around a little later to sell the duty-free stuff, whatever they did, they figured, let's buy the young couple a little gift as a reminder. And they bought a bottle of perfume for the collar, I don't know what they bought for the men. But I can imagine that these young couple's beginning of their marriage was really enhanced by this wonderful experience of having even Sheva brachas 40,000 feet up in the air.
So we're in the seventh sky.
Very good, excellent. <that's right. laughs> HaKadosh Baruch Hu has told us in the Torah, also leave mikdash v'shachanti b'sochem, that we should make it dwelling where Kosbochable feel comfortable and stay with us. And we know that the relationship between husband and wife is what we call an Ezek and Nekno. They're down there for a purpose, a prur and rule, to bear children, Bezal Hashem, and certainly fill up the world with good Yiddish kingdom. So now it says that Kosbochable takes in the Shoma from Tachas Kisei HaKovod. He puts it into a body, into a goof, and say, go down on earth and be a Muslim, and be a complete individual. So, of course, the question is, how does one become a complete individual down here? After all, life itself is not so easy. Many, many different problems. So, our sages are telling us that if a person goes through all facets of life, you gain experience from each one of them, they'll add on to build you as an other Muslim, as a complete individual, the way HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants. So, being that it's already predicted in advance that Avoyim Yom Kodim Yetzias Avlad, Bas Kol Yotzei, and they say, Bas Ploni Leploni. So, obviously, everything is ready. The marriages are made in heaven already a long time before they do get married. But there is a number of things that we have to take into consideration. And one of them is that when the Torah says later on, Al ken yazov ish es oveves imo v'tova v'ishtov, and there it's brought down that therefore should a man leave his father and his mother's house. So we ask ourselves a question. You as parents, you as fathers, and you raised your son or daughter, let's say the age of 20, it doesn't make any difference, but let's say about the age of 20, and now you give them instructions all along on how to reach this wonderful state in their life. And now all of a sudden, Al ken yasov, now you're going to say goodbye, mommy, goodbye, daddy, and this is it. No. The answer is that up until now, you have been what we call a mekabel. You have been a receiver. You have received instruction from your parents. Now, as a husband, you're going to become a mashpia. Someone's going to give over to the wife, and hopefully they speak the same language, and they see things the same way. I must tell you, I spoke just before Rosh Hashanah in the place in Yerushalayim that's called Hanof. And it was to a group of ladies, and while I was there, Baruch Hashem, it went over very well. The next day, I get a phone call, and she said that she was one of the ladies who had been present at this presentation, and they have a problem at home if on my next trip to Hanof with the and look them up, and maybe I'd be able to help them. I said, fine, so I have my dentist list in Hanover, and I'll be there the next couple of days, and I'll contact you. So I came, and who did I meet? I met a husband and a wife. I would say in the middle 50s. I came in, and the husband said to me, he started the conversation, they were blessed with 5 children, 3 boys and 2 girls. The 3 boys, unfortunately, had left the religion, and one of them, the 22-year-old, he had not only left their religion, he became anti-religious. And they said that the 2 daughters had not married too well, and therefore they had no nachas from them at all. Whenever he came to shul, he saw all the other members of the shul, they brought in their children, their grandchildren, relatives, and he sat by himself and became very depressed, and he was not able to concentrate on his davening. If I had anything for him to try to change things. Then the wife chimed in and said that the 22-year anti-religious, he left yesterday for Costa Rica, and he asked the parents not to try to contact him because he was not interested in the relationship with the family, and certainly not with the religion at all. No, I said to them what I said, and the very next morning, before 8 o'clock, the telephone rings. This is Mr. So-and-so. He said, tell me, are you a wonder rabbi? He said, not to my knowledge. He said, you must be. See, you were here yesterday. We told you our problem. And this boy from Costa Rica, he called in. He met someone, and they're going to shul on Rosh Hashanah. You must be a wonder rabbi. I said, well, I don't know if I should add that to my title. I know I'm a graduate of Rav Moshe Feinstein back in 1956, but a wonder rabbi, that's a new one on me. Anyway, what can I tell you? That sometimes that we meet people with these problems, and Baruch Hashem, we give them the right remedy. Sometimes you'll have an immediate reaction, and sometimes it may take longer, and sometimes it may not ever occur. So what can I tell you? These are problems that we're out there, and we try to work on them. And as I mentioned last time, I feel that I owe HaKadosh Baruch Hu so much. He has done so much for me. The way you see me now, you're not going to believe it, but Baruch Hashem, I had 4 heart attacks already. I had 2 open heart surgeries. I had a stroke, and I walk around with a pacemaker, and I'm not as young as I used to be, but being that Kosh Boruch has been so gracious unto me and spared my life, because the surgeon called in the family during the surgery and said, you can say goodbye to him, he's not going to make it. That is 5 years ago, and I'm still here, and I won't give up, and whatever little I can do, I travel around the world, I don't take any money from anybody for anything at all. And from time to time, I even pay for the expenses for the plane trip, and it doesn't bother me. To me, it's like I'm buying an expensive esrog, or I buy Matzah Yoina, and I do another mitzvah. So on these quick trips here, I think I end up speaking anywhere between 30 and 40 times. Today I know I have four engagements before 1 o'clock this morning. And Chas Hashem, as long as God gives me life, I intend to use it all in His service to spread His words around the world. When we talk about Shidduchim, today they get married, if they do get married, they get married pretty late. I tell you, there's a big synagogue in New York on 95th Street, and they say that about 90% of the people are not married. It's a shul that packs in about 1,000 people Shabbos morning, and 90% are not married. All singles. It seems like the career, what they're working on is the most important thing in their lives. They socialize, but that's where it ends. They don't want to team up with anyone. So it's a terrible thing, and I'm sure that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is not happy about that. But at the same, therefore, I want to bring back, in olden days, we had a great sage. His name was Rabbi Shulam Igri. I would say probably 150, 200 years ago. And this Rabbi Shulam Igri, at the time that he lived, that was the time when they would make the shidduchim and get married around bar mitzvah age. Girl would be 12, the boy would be 13, and it would be an ideal ideal match. So this Shulam Igri, who came from a poor family, he was matched up with the president of the congregation. And what happened was, as a 12-year-old or 13-year-old, he was invited to their home. And that was just when coffee came into being. Imagine that, all the way back. And what happened was, since they came to the house, they served him a cup of coffee. He had never seen and never heard and never tasted coffee in his life. So he comes in, and they serve him. How do they serve him? They bring in a cup of milk. They bring in a couple of some black stuff in it, and a bowl of sugar, and a cup and a saucer, and a spoon, and they put it in front of him. Doesn't know what to do. So he says, Vayera, Vayivokia. First of all, evening in the morning, I probably have to drink the black stuff first, that's evening. And then I have to drink the white stuff, that's morning. And then I'll take some sugar. That's the way he drank his coffee. So the young girl, the young Carla, is sitting there. She runs out of the room, out to the kitchen. I'm not going to marry him. I'm not going to marry him. Did you see the way he drank the coffee? The mother said, relax, relax. Look, he comes from a poor home. He's not familiar with coffee at all. But eventually he'll learn, I'm not going to marry him. Father came in, what's the matter? And they had a break off the shidduch. Both of them got married to someone else. Now, these problems do come up from time to time, not necessarily with coffee, but they have difference of opinions. He wants it one way, she wants it another way, and this is something that, we have to take into consideration. They say that there was a young chassan, he came to Rav Eliyashiv, and he said to him, Rebbe, I want you to write a divorce for me again. He said, what for? He said, I have a big problem. What's your problem? He said, every time my wife uses the hairbrush, she always leaves over some hairs in the brush, and I can't stand it. He said, why don't you tell her to take it out? Told 100 times already, she doesn't do it, I can't live with her, please write me a get. Rabbi Eliyashiv said, have any other problems? He said, no, that's all I have. He said, young man, you don't know very much about life. And he said, on the way down, he tripped, and he broke his leg. He ended up in the hospital for a long time, broke in several places. In the beginning, the family, the friends came to visit him, but afterwards, the only one that came to visit him in the hospital was his wife. And he realized that the wife had other qualities as well, And Baruch Hashem, there was no get, they lived here together. These are to us very silly things, but they happen. You know, you all know what a standard is. I don't know if we got a standard right here. What's a standard? Most of the standards are made out of wood. And you should know that a young man, before he gets married, he's been spending years in yeshiva. Who was his companion all these years? A piece of wood, a shtender. And the shtender is a remarkable. Doesn't talk back to you. It's a thing that you can put down your svarim on, and everything seems to work very well. Now this man is getting married, and all of a sudden someone's going to talk back to him. Someone's going to tell him what to do. Telling him you got to keep clean. You can't throw your underwear and the socks on the floor. We have a place where to put it. He wants the orders. He wants to stay there in a house, and he's not used to that. And now some kind of problem. He said, what do? I exchange my shtender for someone who's commanding me around and telling me what to do. You know, it's a famous story about the big Rosh Hashiva, Rav Gifter's at Tzal. He said that one time there was a fellow who just got married, one of his talmidim, and the wife told him in the morning, please take the garbage out on your way to shul. I should take out the garbage? I'm a Talmid Chacham. I'm learning in the Kollel. I won't touch garbage. No, nope. What could the poor woman do? She had to take out the garbage. However, it seems that the work got to Rav Gifter. It was a shiva. Next morning, he comes, knocks on the door. The wife opens the door. What's the Rosh Hashiva want? He said, I came here to take out the garbage. Rebbe, what do you mean? He said, I heard that it's below the dignity of your husband. It's not below my dignity. He's the Rosh Hashiva, and I'd like to take out the garbage for you. Eventually, this fellow was straightened out by the Rosh Hashiva itself. You come sometimes from different backgrounds. Listen, I was born in Denmark, and I married a girl that was born in China, and she came from a Sephardic background. Baruch Hashem, as long as we lived together until she passed away, Chas Hashem, we worked it out. You're a little flexible. You give a little. You take a little. And you can easily work it out. These are our problems, unfortunately, that to us are minor. And yet these people make a major, like what we say, a molehill, a mountain out of a molehill, of a claim desire from a small thing that makes something major out of it. So I want to tell you that after being traveling around and speak to a lot of these people who have these problems, it seems to me that the desires and the cravings of each one seems to be on top of the list. In other words, can you supply this for me? Can you give me the comfort that I was used to back home? Because I'm not really ready to go down. I want to go up. Another problem is, unfortunately, is the internet that so many homes, unfortunately, have. I always think that when the television came out, and I used to be together with Rabbi Victor Miller, and when he spoke about the television, he said that people have this sewer in their dining room or whatever. So I can imagine what he would say today about the internet. He said it wouldn't be worse. There are a lot of things happening in the world too today. And I'll tell you what took place in Borapak of this young boy that was molested. You remember that was 4, 5, 6 months ago. And he seemed to open up a big can of worms. In Yerushalayim, they had a big gathering of the Gedolei HaTorah, of the Rosh Hashivas, and psychiatrists and psychologists. And they were there, and they came out with startling news that we never even heard of. That these things about teachers molesting young boys, and even women teachers from Bishako have done something to young girls, is so widespread that in Bnei Brak alone, over 500 cases. And we heard, among other things, that there was a person who installed in the house what we call a central air conditioning. And it worked well for a couple of years, and then there was a breakdown. They called in a technician, and he checked out every air conditioner they had in the house, every room, and he came to the bedroom. And then he took it apart and see, and he asked the person, tell me, what is this little camera doing? It's camera. We have no camera. Sure do. He said, you have a camera that's attached to this, and the person who installed it can see in his home what goes on in your bedroom. Now, I don't know if he only did it to one family. Could have been to, who knows, dozens or maybe hundreds of homes. They installed air conditioning, a little camera, and he's watching the action in every bedroom that's going on. It's sick word. Mamushin, I tell you, when I heard it, I couldn't believe it. These are some of the problems we have. I give a shiur every Shabbos afternoon to a group of ladies. And it's only about 3-4 weeks ago, a woman came in. She said, Rabbi, I got to talk to you after the lecture. I said, fine. She said, in Israel, the telephone company is called Bezek. And she said, I just got a bill from Bezek with a congratulations that you have joined our internet program. I didn't know anything. So she called up the Bezek and said, a mistake must have been made. No, telephone came from your phone, from your home, and someone ordered it. And she checked with her sons, and sure enough, one of them did. They don't have no internet in the house, but I'm so big behind in this, in technology, that you can have something that fits your palm, and you can get all the filth that was in there. What can I tell you? That she got rid of it, and she said that Bezek, well, when you just put on the screen, you know, you haven't pressed any button yet. A woman that's very indecent is appearing, and if you want me for tonight, call this number, press this button, and you can have me. Bring that into the home. And you know how many men have fallen for that, how many women have fallen for that. This is one of the terrible things that unfortunately that we're faced with today. So technology is not just a beautiful invention. There are a lot of things that are harming the whole family structure. And these are things that we have to try to be on top of it. The only thing is that by the time we come to a conclusion or to a remedy, already there's new Torahs in the world that we have to put our attention to. So very often when I'm faced with a couple and they have problems, so the first thing I ask them, do you have a wedding album with pictures taken at your wedding? They said, sure. So why don't we take it out and let's go over the pictures. And I say, look how happy the chosen Lord. Look how happy the Kala looked. Look at the in-laws and parents and all the guests that were there. Ah, it was such a happy occasion. Now tell me, when did things start go wrong? And let's see if we can come to the source of it. That is one thing. But there's more to it. And you should know that just like chol, when you make it on Friday, it doesn't turn well right away on Friday. Shabbos morning is a lot better than it will be when you just made it. And the longer it stays, the better the cholim gets. The same thing is with the marriage. You know, in the beginning, you know, there are a lot of differences. It takes time to work it out. But as the marriage goes on and become more stable and they learn how to give and take, things will work out differently. So I have said many times at Sheva Brochus, and you can use it as well. There are three letters in the Hebrew alphabet that have something in common. And those three letters are Beis, and a Ches, and a Tes. Beis, if you were to spell out the word Beis, you'll spell it Beis Yud Sof. Ches Yud Sof. And Tes Yud Sof. Yusuf is 410, the same as the word Kodosh. And Ben Yisrael adds to it and he says that when two people get married, based, two people, Yusuf, you should apply the Kedusha. Bring in Kedusha to your home. Let's give Chesed for a moment and let's go to test. And if the wife gets pregnant and God willing she's carrying a child, during those 9 months she should devote herself only to Kedusha itself. Only see holy things, only eat kashrus, and it should be a life filled of Kedusha. If Hashem blesses them with a baby boy, so at the bris milah you should look for a kosher mohel and a kosher sandei. So of course you're gonna argue with me and say, what do you mean? Such a thing is not a kosher mohel or not a kosher sandei? Yes. I don't know if I ever told you this, but I was invited in New York. First of all, you don't invite people to a bris. But there was a person that was not religious at all. And I don't know, we had a little relationship. And he said, listen, we're going to have a bris in my house. I'll be very honored if you will come. So I come to the bris, and I see there the newborn baby is strapped to a board. His legs are spread apart, tied up to a board. And I go to the mohel, and I said to him, as a rabbi in Israel, how's this Sunday going to hold this baby with this board? He said, it's none of your business. Pretty nice. So I said, it certainly is my business. He said, listen, this is my job, you stay out of it. I couldn't start a fight in someone else's house, and I had no other mohel, I can't do it. So anyway, he was ready to start their bris. So he calls over their grandfather, and he says, put your right hand on the baby's belly and make a wish. So, what's going on? But then he called over the grandmother and said, now you put your right hand on the baby's belly and you make a wish. And he did the same thing with the second pair of grandparents. I'm telling you, there was some experience. Anyway, so finally the bris is being done. The poor kid finally, they released him from the board. And then they honored me with saying the brachas and the kiddush. And in those days there was a big question about Manischewitz wine. And that's what they brought me. And I had to excuse myself that I don't drink wine early in the morning. Maybe someone else could drink it for me. I'll make the brachas. So I'm just telling you that this idea of ches, that it should be done by Kedusha, it's an important thing to look for a mohel that's a real mohel and also a good sandege, an honorable person. What can I tell you? I think that the time is just up above it. But you should know that this is a problem. And the problem, like I said, is with Shalom Bayis. To have peace in the home is a tremendous thing. You can bring up the children in beautiful atmosphere. How many homes are broken up? How many children are spending some time with the one parent and some time with the other parent and back and forth? These other kids are not doing well in school at all. So everything that goes wrong will have an effect upon the people. My wish to you and my broker to you is that all of you should have continuous Shalom Bayis in your house, and wherever you're able to help someone and guide them and show them the way we were brought up. It was differently. It wasn't like today that the word lo with an olive doesn't exist to the, whatever a kid wants, gets. And they're born on with a silver spoon and on silver platter, and they don't know about hardships at all. Let us tell them what life is all about, and they should try to adjust to it. And most of the problems they have are silly problems, like the problem with the hairbrush, and problems of this caliber that we just try to push it aside, and certainly, like we said before, don't make a mountain out of a molehill. God should bless you all. You should have only semachot, only brachot, only blessings. And God should be with you, and you should keep on starting every day with Torah and increase it, and Bezal Hashem, we all become big Talmidei Chachamim.